Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:23 in that specific summer time. Today, it was the big story was the dollar and how the dollar's relative weakness is affecting various markets. So, the majority of stock markets today were in negative territory, and that's at least in part due to the pullback that we saw yesterday. The S&P 500 was in positive territory, was in negative territory at the beginning of the day, positive territory for the most of the day, but weakened again into the close. So yesterday we saw a downside key reversal, and we saw follow-through in here today. By and large, that's the kind of thing, regardless of whether we saw a key reversal or not in various markets, what has happened over the last 6 weeks is that we have these short-term overbought conditions, which were preceded by short-term oversold conditions, and those are now being unwound. But perhaps the most important thing is not so much the fact that you had a key reversal yesterday and follow-through today, but in the size of those moves. Well, at the chart seminar, what we often say is that the key to the key is size, or half-jokingly, that this is one area of life where size really does matter. And that's certainly the case here. This has not been a dynamic move. The S&P today was down less than half of 1%. The NASDAQ was down a third of a percent, whereas the Dow got hit a bit harder, and that was down 0.92%, and not least because of the effect that the disappointing earnings from Walmart had. One of the things that perhaps is most notable is that they said that higher wage costs were having a direct impact on margins, and that they're spending upwards of $1 billion on expanding their online offering. Well, that's important because Walmart is perhaps the most politicized of corporations in terms of how much money it pays its workers, but it's perhaps something to look forward to, in that we can anticipate that other companies are also going to experience wage inflation. And that's rather interesting from the perspective of, you know, where interest rates are likely to go, because the Fed hasn't raised interest rates, in part because wage growth hasn't been there. And right now, with bond prices today, the long bond was up almost 2 full points. Well, in fact, it was 1 3/4 points. Gilts were stronger by 0.75 points, and bunds stronger by 0.7 points. They're starting to price in the potential that the Fed may not raise interest rates, and partly because economic activity has moderated, not just in the USA, but globally. Well, these are two competing arguments, but certainly what we have right now is dollar weakening. And perhaps one of the more interesting things that came out of the Country Opinion Forum was that there was a virtual consensus that the dollar would be a strong currency. And I find myself in that camp. I think that there's a lot in favor of dollar strength over the medium and the long term. But in the short term, a great deal of bullish news has already been priced in. And then there is the potential for the dollar's significant rally against a large basket of currencies to be somewhat unwound. Against the euro, the dollar is now up to 1.1474. It was up almost a full point today. Sorry, down almost a full point. The euro was up almost a full point. And that 1.15 area is a psychological area of resistance for the euro. When you look at gold, gold was stronger by almost $19. It's up to $1,187. Well, $1,200 is the next psychological level, and it is above its 200-day moving average, and not for the first time in the context of this medium-term downtrend. So there is a correlation there between the relative strength of the euro and the relative strength of gold. Perhaps the most bullish case one can make for gold is that the relative weakness of the commodity-related and Asian currencies was really quite bullish for it when denominated in those particular currencies. That if you look at gold in rand, or you look at gold in reals or rupiah, then it looks really very favorable indeed. And I think that in rand it's actually close to an all-time high. But when you look at it relative to the US dollar, then it hasn't been immune from the strength of the dollar, but neither has it fallen to nearly the same extent as some of those other currencies. And that's that has been rather positive. Now, the fact that the US dollar is weakening, well, that gives us this correlation between euro dollar and gold. And as long as one is going up, then there's a good likelihood that the other will go up too. Gold shares are at their lowest value relative to the gold price since at the early 2000s, so they're certainly not expensive. And when one looks at silver is also looking rather constructive in here, and it's back above $16. Platinum is closing out the day up 8 and at the round $1,000 level. It's still trading $187 below the price of gold, and that's a rather odd circumstance. That's been in evidence now for well over a year, but platinum is certainly the rarer of the metals, and it certainly took a beating following the Volkswagen scandal and its impact on catalytic converter demand. But there is no question that platinum jewelry is really cheap or at these prices, and obviously jewelers don't like passing on that cost, but it's certainly cheap relative to gold at the current levels. The pound today was stronger by 2.25 cents versus the US dollar. And this has been incredibly quippy trading, and the Bank of England and the Treasury, they don't want to see a particularly strong currency, and yet there are some quite clear advantages that the UK has relative to the Eurozone in particular. So they may have been trying to depress the value of the pound, and well, they've got their work set out for them, because there is potential here for the pound to continue to appreciate. But it will be in a choppy manner, because the Bank of England is certainly not going to be the first one to raise rates, but neither is the UK economy under the same kinds of pressures that other places are under. Well, when we take a step back and we sort of take a look around, then relative weakness for the US dollar should be generally positive for commodities, and copper was stronger by 3 cents in here today. It's also positive for Wall Street, in that what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 quarters has been that major exporters have been impacted by the strength of the dollar, and relative weakness this quarter could be a stabilizing force on Wall Street, and generally positive for earnings. Of course, that is contingent on the environment remaining reasonably steady. There has been a lot of fear about deflationary forces, and it's long been our view that these are disinflationary forces, that commodity prices went up a lot and they've come down a lot. And the firming that we're now getting in commodity prices, that could represent an inflationary surprise, you know, 3-4 months from now, when some of these prices are released over the quarter and then annualized. It really does suggest that getting overly defeatist and looking at the deflationary outlook isn't likely to be the most productive way of looking at the markets. And I've posted a spreadsheet in here today where I've shown that there are still a considerable number of shares trading well below their 200-day moving average, and some of those have accelerated lower and have at least paused. Then the potential there for short covering rallies is still perhaps the base case. Whereas in this current environment, when you see something that is accelerating to the upside, then we have to remember that acceleration either up or down is a trend ending, and equally so, regardless of whether it is moving up or down. And if an downward acceleration represents the beginning of a buying opportunity, then one would be well advised to exert some form of caution with something that is accelerating on the upside. And Activision Blizzard, it's a wonderful company. They produce fantastic games, and they're clearly the leader in their sector. But that share is accelerating higher, and we have no evidence yet that that acceleration is over. But it could fall 30% and still be in a medium-term uptrend, and that's probably worth considering if one is sizing a position with the view of buying. And if one holds it, then you know, having a trailing stop on at least part of the position at least means that you're not adding to it and raising the average buy price, which would have a rather dramatic effect at today's prices for an investor. So we're still in an environment where, you know, this is a rapidly evolving market situation, but we haven't had, you know, large downward dynamics on Wall Street, and that is certainly positive. The VIX was a bit firmer in here today, but not in a dynamic way. And the Eurozone has, you know, rallied rather well over the last couple of weeks and has developed a short-term overbought condition. So there is potential for some retracing of the move that we've seen, and that is similarly so for the Nikkei, and particularly if the yen strengthens additionally. It's worth remembering that, you know, at least a good part of that Japanese rally that we've had over the last 3 years has been dependent on the weakness of the yen, and the yen strengthening is not particularly good news for the stock market in the very short term. But by the same token, it is very difficult to make a bullish case for the yen over the medium term, and it's likely to set up a rather attractive entry opportunity. And it's probably also worth considering China, because the Chinese have been very eager to delay the depreciation of the yuan, and that suggests then that the yuan is likely to weaken from where it is right now, but not in a dynamic fashion, and that's generally positive for the Chinese markets. And you know, I guess, you know, the H-share index is still in single-digit multiples, and, you know, has a globally competitive yield. So, you know, when one looks at, you know, where you can get returns, then an index that's yielding almost 4% relative to bonds that are yielding only 2%, and, you know, that have been are looking at something that has had an accelerated advance relative to something that is deeply oversold. There are certainly opportunities there, provided we're willing to accept the reality provided by the market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.